Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. Appreciate you coming, being a part of the episode. We are in, as you know, 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. We learned last episode of the incredible purpose that God has for your life and for mine. If you're a child of God, God's purpose is to form Christ in you and to use you as a reflection of his glory and his gospel. I can think of no higher privilege than that. And so today we're in verse 12. The Apostle Paul has just reiterated to Timothy, "Timothy, my whole life is about the gospel. It's what I preach. It's what I teach. It's why I go to the Gentiles. It defines me." And then in verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "For the which cause? For the gospel. I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day," until that day. So what a powerful verse, Caleb. We sing that song, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able." What a familiar verse. Talk to me about, you know, what would this verse mean to young Timothy as Paul shared his testimony?
Yeah, so obviously Paul is writing this from prison. And so as Timothy is reading this, he's saying, he's interpreting Paul as saying, "Hey, these things I'm suffering right now, the fact that I'm in prison, I'm awaiting this trial, that I'm, you know, near to death, I'm doing these things for Christ. And I'm not ashamed." So he just rebuked him in verse 8, saying that you've become ashamed, I think, of Christ and of the gospel message of me as well. But he said, why can I be okay with suffering these things? He said, because the gospel, the things which I preach, the person of Jesus Christ, I'm persuaded, I'm convinced that not only is, you know, that's something I believe, but also these things which I am doing, that matters. It's not something that I'm just doing and it goes away until that day, until Christ calls me home. You know, Christ is going to remember the things for which I've done for him. And that's truly what matters at the end of the day, not what others would think of me or the things I suffer, but the fact that what I believe and the gospel and the things I'm doing for Christ will continue on.
Yeah, it's a verse of confidence, isn't it? "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Timothy, you know as well as I do that bad things are happening because we're doing good things. And our association with Christ, our propagation of the gospel, is bringing suffering. But I know whom I've believed. I know that what I believe is true. This is not just a body of belief like I memorized a document. This is, I know Christ. And I know that he is able to keep what I've committed to him. I've committed to him my soul. I've committed to him my life. I've committed to him everything about me. And I know that he's able to keep that. I know that he is going to reward and to honor and to keep safe my life, my salvation. He's all of it. You know, I'm trusting the Lord in every bit of it.
Yeah. And, you know, when Paul is saying that he, you know, "I know whom I have believed." And I love what you've said before. I know you said this in several messages before, but you said you only truly believe that which moves you to action. And so I think a lot of times, even in my own personal life, sometimes I'll say, "No, I believe this about God," or I believe this promise, or I believe what he said, or, you know, this is where I stand. But sometimes when push comes to shove, our actions don't always back that up. And so it's to Timothy, it's reflective for him to say, well, I have the head knowledge and I know these things, but do I truly believe that? And to see that his mentor had this ultimate confidence must have just, you know, spurred him on in his own faith.
And verse 12, I think, reiterates the theme of the first couple of chapters of 2 Timothy. You say, well, what is that theme? The theme is that of not being ashamed. So the buildup until verse 8 was, hey, God is not giving the spirit of fear. Timothy, I love you, but hey. And verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed. Mm-hmm. So we see that in verse 8. In verse 12, Paul says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. At the end of the chapter, in verse 16, he talks about this Onesiphorus. We'll talk about him. He was not ashamed. See that in verse 16?
Yeah.
And then in chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So four times in the space of just a few paragraphs, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing, don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed. And I think that's the emphasis the Lord wants us to have, is that while we might be criticized, we might be persecuted and called crazy and misunderstood by a world that's bent against God, there's no need for us to feel shame because we know whom we've believed. We know that everything one day will be made known, and he's able to keep that which we've committed.
Yeah, that's so good. And it's such a needful reminder too, because as human beings, a lot of times we just feed off our own insecurities. And so when, you know, we face that opposition or we face that backlash from people who don't believe as we do, sometimes our first thought is, well, I feel embarrassed, or I feel ridiculed, or I feel sad, I feel lonely, I feel ostracized, I feel that it's been unfair. And Paul is saying, you can't focus on yourself. You have to focus on Christ. And when we focus on Christ, then we remember who he is, what he's done for us. And that brings along, that natural feeling of, hey, there's no reason to be ashamed. What I'm doing is worthy. And what I'm doing is ultimately what is going to matter in eternity.
As we look at the book of 2 Timothy from a discipleship standpoint, I think of a couple discipleship principles. For instance, I think the Apostle Paul in verses 8 through 11 is careful to point to Christ and Christ's purpose for Timothy. Sometimes if we're not careful in leadership, we have expectations for people. Mm-hmm. And we want people to please us, and we want people to meet our goals. And I understand there's a part of administration where that might be true, but we need to be pointing people to the greater transcendent purpose for their life. And that is the purpose for which God has created them. And then in verse 12, I think a good discipleship principle is you can't lead people to a relationship with God if you don't have a vibrant relationship with God yourself. Yeah. So Paul's confidence in leading Timothy was not a made-up confidence or a just his personality. It was Paul really knew Christ and really trusted Christ, and that confidence came from that.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking about a couple of podcasts ago, we were talking about sports and even coaching and things like that. I mean, just think about it. If you were to go out in a game and the coach stated the words, we will win this game, but then everything he was doing, he was, you know, muttering under his breath. He's like, oh, these guys are too big for us. Or, you know, he's like, all right, well, we're going to try this, guys. Or he puts on that fake smile and that fake encouragement. And you know when the coach truly doesn't believe in you. But here, yeah, that can't be said of Paul. When Timothy's reading this, he sees that's just that he has that belief himself. He has that confidence. And that is what is going to help him in his own faith, because he sees it's real in the mentor. So he says, this isn't just something to know. This isn't just some, some things I should take to heart, maybe if I want to, or guidelines. He's no, this is something that is serious and is something worth living for because I see this in Paul.
Yeah, interestingly, in verses 8 through 11, the Apostle Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed. Okay, know what Christ has planned for you. Know his purpose for you. And then in verse 12, Paul says, I'm not ashamed because I know what Christ's purpose is for me, and I know that he'll keep his word. So he's embodying what he expects in others. Look at verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So Timothy, and this really goes back to a lot of the teaching in the first epistle to Timothy, and that is, Timothy, your responsibility is not to see results. Paul didn't say, Timothy, shoot for a goal of 300 in church next Sunday. Or Timothy, you know, make sure that you get that renovation project done. Uh-huh. And Timothy, your job is to hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So, in other words, Timothy, be faithful to the body of truth. Sound words here means healthy, the healthy message of God in faith, in love. This is what you need to do, Timothy. Believing God's word, understanding God's purposes, keep the faith.
Yeah, and I think that's so poignant for young leaders as well, as Timothy was. It's so easy for us to get concentrated on all of the things that we can measure, all the tangible things, like you said, the renovation or the church attendance or the budget or the offerings and all these things that we can reflect and physically look at to say, look at this growth. And meanwhile, you know, God is saying, well, just stay faithful to my word, to good doctrine, to good teaching. And ultimately, God is going to be the one who blesses. And so it's just that comparative nature sometimes in us that comes out where we just are focused on all of these things. And he's saying, hey, at the core of everything, you just focus on good teaching. You focus on the word of God and everything will be all right from there. And God will bless as he wills.
So interesting. I lead, as you know, Timothy. My goodness. As you know, Caleb, you're my Timothy. Yeah. As you know, Caleb, I lead trips to Israel. And one of the things I reiterate on the trip to the passengers, to the attenders of the trip is, hey, hold on to your passport.
Yeah.
Make sure you have your passport with you. We go through maybe old Jerusalem where there might be a pickpocket or two. Hey, put your passport in your front pocket. Why? It's an important document. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be separated from that. The Apostle Paul comes back to this with Timothy. Timothy, hey, hold on to these sound words. Timothy, preach the Bible. Timothy, stay focused. Keep this doctrine strong. Why? Because it's what's important. That's what needs to be transferred generationally, the healthy words of God. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, my friends, but we're going to jump into the second part of this thought next episode. I don't want you to miss it. Just the fidelity that we ought to have, the commitment we ought to have to the Word of God from generation to generation. I hope that this has helped. And I hope that you'll stay with us, and I look forward to being with you next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.